This morning, as we continue our journey through the Psalter that we began last summer and are continuing this summer, the psalm that we have before us is Psalm 18. Now, if you're not familiar with Psalm 18, you might want to know this. One thing you should know is that this is a long psalm. This is by far the longest psalm that we've encountered thus far in our series, in our journey through the Psalter. It's actually one of the longest psalms in all of that book. And for that reason, I've had the entirety of the text of this psalm printed on your order of worship, beginning on right below the benediction and continue on the back page. Now, this is a long psalm, and I want you to be able to follow the logic, follow the words, not get lost in the details as we read through it. Hear now once more, beloved, the holy and inerrant word of God from Psalm 18. Psalm 18 to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, or more literally, the servant of Yahweh, who addressed the words of this song to Yahweh on the day when Yahweh delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed before him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. Yahweh also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Yahweh. At the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him and I kept myself from my guilt. So Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. Yahweh, my God, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The way of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but Yahweh? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to Yahweh, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Yahweh, among the nations and sing your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts gathered here this morning, that they would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And I ask this in the name of our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This summer, as we've moved through the Psalms, as we hope to continue to move through the Psalms in summers to come, The point of this series that we're embarking on is not simply to provide you with instruction and exposition of the content of each of the Psalms that we come to. No, really, I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. Part of the point of this sermon series is to kind of present an apologetic for the Psalms themselves, for the usefulness of the Psalms, and especially for their usefulness in terms of your prayers. You see, my desire is that we would be a congregation assembled here whose prayer life would be centered in the Psalms. That we would pray the Psalms in our homes with our families. That we would pray them when we gather as small groups in the church throughout the week. That we would pray the Psalms on Sunday morning in our worship. And especially, perhaps, that we would pray them in our own personal and private prayer lives. Now, by praying the Psalms, I really don't mean anything complicated. I just simply mean that I want us not simply to read the words of the Psalms in our heads, but I want us to actually speak them out loud to God as prayers, to say the words of the Psalms themselves out loud to God as prayers. In my study, just across the way, I have a place where I do this, a place where I kneel on a regular basis and pray the Psalms out loud to God. I pray other prayers, of course, extemporaneous prayers, other portions of the Scripture, but most prominently, I pray the Psalms. And I pray them on your behalf, as the congregation that I serve. I pray them for myself. I pray them for friends and family and for the world at large. You see, prayer is, of course, one of my central callings as a pastor, and I can say confidently to you that my own prayer life has been transformed since the time about 8 years ago when I began to pray consecutively through the Psalms, one after the other, from beginning to end. When I started to do that in my prayer life. Because the Psalms have taught me to pray in ways that I never would have otherwise. Ways I couldn't have imagined that I should pray to God with a boldness and confidence, or pray about things that I wouldn't have considered praying to God on my own. The Psalms have stretched and expanded my conception in so many ways of what prayer itself actually is. And over the years, as I've practiced praying through the Psalter, one of the things that has been most helpful for me is to realize that when I pray the Psalms, when I speak the words of these prayers to God, I am not simply praying the ancient prayers of Israel. And I'm not simply praying these Psalms in reference to my own life and my own contemporary situation or the situation of someone else, but I'm actually praying them with Jesus Himself. As I pray the Psalms, I'm praying them with the living Christ. Jesus is actually praying the Psalms before I am, and I'm simply joining in my voice with His. Now, of course, we know that Jesus prayed the Psalms during His earthly life. He was a faithful Israelite, and so He would have known them, He would have memorized them. The Gospels provide plenty of evidence for this as well, not least of which is the reality that in His ministry, Jesus quoted from and alluded to the Psalms. More than any other book in the Old Testament, the Psalms are where He went most frequently. But when I say we pray the Psalms with Jesus, I do not simply mean that we are praying the same prayers that Jesus once prayed about 2,000 years ago in His earthly life. No. I mean that we are praying the Psalms with Jesus now. For Jesus, right now, is ascended into heaven in His resurrected and glorified body, and He is presently interceding for us at the right hand of His Father, as the New Testament tells us. What are the words that Jesus is using to intercede for us, right? Have you thought about that? Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of God. What are the words that He is speaking to intercede for us? Whatever those words are that characterize the present intercession of Jesus, I am confident that they must include the words of the Psalms. Perhaps He's speaking other things as well, but certainly the Psalms are central to His prayers. I'm confident of this because Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote the Psalms Himself, of course. They are His prayers, and they testify about Himself as He told His disciples, as He appeared to them after His resurrection. Remember, He went through the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms and showed them where they spoke of Him. But I'm also confident that Jesus is praying the Psalms because Hebrews 2 actually speaks to that reality. You see, in Hebrews 2, the text we heard this morning, the apostolic writer is speaking of the ascended Christ and His relationship to those who remain on earth, who have put their trust in Him. And he says in verse 11 that Jesus, this Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, all of us, His brothers and His sisters. And he says this, he says, saying, and then he quotes from Psalm 22, "I will tell of your name to my brothers." That's Jesus speaking. "I will tell of your name, God, Father, to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." You see, the writer of the Hebrews doesn't tell us that Jesus once upon a time said to the Father, "I will tell of your name to my brothers." No, he says that he is saying it. It's a present tense. He's saying it. He is saying the words of Psalm 22 to the Father, even now. And if Jesus is praying to the Father from Psalm 22, then I think it is safe to assume he is praying the rest of the Psalms as well. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian of the 20th century, puts it this way. He says, "The Psalter is the prayer book of Jesus Christ in the truest sense of the word. He prayed the Psalter, and now it has become His prayer for all time." because Christ prays the prayer of the Psalms with the individual and the congregation before the heavenly throne of God, or rather because those who pray the Psalms are joining in with the prayer of Jesus Christ, their prayer reaches the ear of God. Christ has become our intercessor. Jesus prays the Psalms. We pray the Psalms with Him. Now, what does that mean exactly? I think Psalm 18, this psalm actually shows us, provides us with an excellent demonstration of that principle. One of the interesting things about Psalm 18 is that it appears in almost exactly the same form in 2 Samuel 22. This psalm, Psalm 18, the text appears in 2 Samuel 22. We heard the first few verses of that in our Old Testament reading. And in 2 Samuel 21, the chapter we also heard from, David goes out and he fights the Philistines for the very last time as a king. And he almost dies in the battle. He's weak, he's weary, it's the end of his life. He has to be rescued by one of his men. And after he escapes with his life from the battle, his men say, "Don't do that ever again," right? "Don't put us in that situation. We don't want you to die on the battlefield." And then immediately after that, when David realizes that his life of fighting, his life as a warrior is over, we find the words in 2 Samuel 22 of this psalm. I think it's most likely David wrote this psalm at that time, at the end of his life, summing up all of how God had delivered him throughout his life, how God had shown his salvation to him and saved him again and again. And as such, Psalm 18 functions as an excellent summary of David's life and David's experience before God, but I think it is even a better summary of something else. It is an even better summary of the life of the Son of God, the Son of David, the truly anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. This psalm speaks of Jesus. Consider how this psalm fits with the life of Jesus. It begins with these verses praising God for His deliverance and His love. "I love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And then in verses 4 through 6, the psalmist prays this. Consider these words from the lips of Christ. "The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. To my God, I cried for help. From His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears." I think it is difficult to think of a better description of Jesus' experience on the cross than those verses there, verses 4 to 6 of this psalm. You see, at the cross, Jesus was confronted with the terror of death. He had to submit Himself to all of death's power, but even as He did so, He cried out to His Father for help and for deliverance. Even as we heard from our gospel reading this morning in Luke, Jesus' last recorded words before He dies are a cry to His Father for deliverance. "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And do you know where that phrase comes from? It comes from the Psalms. It's a direct quotation from Psalm 31. Think about that for a moment. When Jesus died, He died with the words of the Psalms on His lips. The gospel writers tell us explicitly that Jesus prayed from Psalm 22, my God, why have You forsaken me?" And then later from Psalm 31, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And I think that raises an interesting question. What was Jesus doing during those long hours, those 3 hours as He hung on the cross and waited for His death to come? Seems to me that the most likely answer to that question, both from the testimony of the gospel writers as well as what we know of Jesus Himself, is that He was likely praying His way through the Psalms that He had memorized, the Psalms that He knew. And when He came to Psalm 31, he cries out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and dies. But just as Psalm 18 tells us, Jesus' cry to his Father does not go unheeded, right? Psalm 18 also tells us, in response to the psalmist's prayer for deliverance, God hears, and he responds. In verse 7, we hear in the psalm, "Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked." And indeed, as Matthew tells us, at the moment Jesus died, what happened? "Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." Though it appeared that those who were watching Jesus, that Jesus had been forsaken by his Father, creation itself knew better, right? Creation knew that God himself would come and deliver his Son from death, that he would bow the heavens, as the psalmist says, and come down, that he would come swiftly on the wings of the wind to raise his Son from the dead, so that Jesus would be able to praise his Father for his resurrection. With the words that the psalmist writes in verses 16 through 19, the psalmist says this. Think about Jesus praying these words after his resurrection. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And of course, it is only Jesus who is able to truly pray verses 20 to 24 of this psalm, words which refer to his resurrection and his ascension to the Father's right hand. "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight." Those are words that only Jesus can truly pray on his own. In the interest of time, I won't go through the rest of the psalm verse by verse, but all that David speaks of here in this psalm is taken up and fulfilled by Jesus as he prays this psalm from his presence and his power filling his bride, the church, to complete his great commission in verses 25 to 36, his anticipation of the final judgment to come in verses 37 to 42, and the enthronement of himself as king over all the nations in verses 43 to 50. That's the movement of the psalm. It's the life of Jesus in miniature. Indeed, verse 50 speaks clearly of this psalm's connection to Jesus, because David concludes his prayer by saying, "Great salvation he, that is God, brings to his king and shows his steadfast love to his anointed," literally to his Messiah, to his Christ, to David and his offspring forever. So if we take as truth what I believe to be the case, and I believe this psalm demonstrates, which is that we do not pray the psalm simply as ourselves on our own, or simply as the ancient prayers of Israel, but actually in concert with Jesus himself as he prays them at God's right hand, what difference does that make? I just want to mention three things briefly. First, if we pray the Psalms this way, if we pray them self-consciously in concert with Jesus himself, if we see our voice joining in with him as we pray, we will find this. We will find that all of the Psalter becomes a Holy Spirit-inspired commentary on the entirety of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. You see, every psalm, when you pray it this way, takes on a double meaning. It is not only written from the perspective of the psalmist himself, it is also a prophetic revelation of Jesus. You see, when we pray the Psalms, realizing they are not only our prayers, but Jesus's as well, we see very quickly that Jesus is actually the blessed man in Psalm 1, the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Right? Jesus is the Son who rules over the nations in Psalm 2. Jesus is the suffering servant who cries to the Lord for help in Psalm 3. Jesus is the man who sings of the glory of his own humanity in Psalm 8. Jesus is the righteous man who ascends the hill of the Lord in Psalm 15. Jesus is the brave warrior who enters the valley of the shadow of death without fear in Psalm 23. Jesus is the King of glory, the Lord of armies, for whom the gates of the city lift up their heads in Psalm 24. And I could go on. All throughout the Psalter, it's Jesus, 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 again and again. When we pray these Psalms this way, we come to realize the wonders of the living Christ are not only contained in the Gospels, and the Gospels are wonderful, I love them, but they are not the only place that speaks of Christ. It's all about Him, from the Law of Moses, to the Prophets, to the Psalms, to the Epistles. They all speak of Him with such depth and complexity and beauty, it will take us all of eternity to begin to comprehend. That's the first benefit of praying the Psalms this way. The second is this: when we pray the Psalms self-consciously, in concert with Jesus, with the one who prays them at his Father's right hand, we can be confident that God hears us. We can be sure that our Father in heaven hears us when we pray, because we pray with Jesus himself, his beloved Son, the one in whom he delights, the one whose prayers he heard from the cross, the one whose prayers he heard and answered in the most decisive way possible with resurrection. The same resurrection he promises to give us as well. The third and the final benefit is this: when we pray the Psalms in this way, not simply as ancient prayers written long ago, not simply as our own prayers that we sort of apply to our own lives, but prayers that we pray in concert with Jesus, we are reminded again of this decisive reality. That there is nothing we do in this world. There is nothing. Not eating, or sleeping, or working, or resting, or praying. Nothing that we will ever do apart from Jesus. Nothing. Nothing we can do apart from our eternal and spirit-wrought union with the Christ who is our life. That there is nothing we will do. Nothing, including prayer itself, that we do apart from the one in whom we have been hidden, the one through whom we have been brought into the very heart of God, the one with whom we pray these words to our Father in heaven. We say with the living Christ, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So glory be to the Father, the one who is our rock and our fortress, the one who always hears our prayer. And glory be to the Son, who is and who will always be not only the one who hears our prayers to whom we pray, but also in the mystery of His eternal incarnation, the one with and through whom we pray. And glory be to the Holy Spirit, who gives us eternal communion with the Christ who is our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reality, that You have given us the Psalms not only as prayers that we speak to You on our own, or prayers that were once prayed in the life of Israel, but as prayers that are prayed now by Your Son, Jesus Christ, the true Israelite, the true man, the Son of David, the one who sums them all up in Himself and speaks them now to You, the one through whom we can have confidence that you hear our prayer because we speak it with the living Christ, the one who is our life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.